Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm Brian Tan, and with me right now in this first episode of Writers Uncensored is my writing partner and my sister from another mother, Kendra Souter.
Hello. I loved that introduction there, Brian. That was perfect.
Yeah, I've done this once or twice, I guess.
Just a few times.
So, for those of you that are on the TBK network of podcasts, thanks for listening in to this first episode of Writers Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Yep.
Woo-hoo.
Now, Kendra, you were mentioning to me just in conversation this week that you were looking to start a podcast, but things weren't really going in your favor in that regard. You want to talk about that a little bit?
So basically,
you don't have to name names. You don't have to name names.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not a snitch because I get stitches and stuff, and I don't want stitches. So, but no, originally there was going to be a whole different title. Of course, a lot of the same subject matter, but things did not work out because it was hard to actually get a recording date that both of us could work with. For him, Sundays were better. Me, Fridays were better. And right. Made it really hard to nail everything down and get something concrete. So that's when I said, hey, Brian. And gave him a little tap on the shoulder. It's like, hey, you want to do a podcast? I mean, another podcast? Because you already do one?
Yeah, and of course, everyone knows me. I am not afraid to just put myself out there because what the hell else am I going to do? So
yeah, you're a lot better at it than me, that's for sure.
Don't worry, you'll get your stride going, don't worry. Besides, you just do you and you'll do just fine because you're way more outgoing and in people's face than you give yourself credit for.
Well, that's because I get to hide behind a microphone this way.
Oh, is that what that is?
I'm a lot braver behind the microphone than I am in person.
Yeah, when you're in person, you just stab people.
Well, you're not 100% wrong.
Yeah, so for those that don't, well, obviously nobody knows because this is the first episode, of course.
Of course.
Writers Uncensored, Kendra and I are both writers. For those that don't know, we're actually writing partners. So one of our primary project right now is the John Baker Chronicles, which is a spinoff to Kendra's Permutation Archive series that Kendra has actually decided to continue on with. So, yay!
I did! Yay! It was a very hard decision because I wasn't sure how I was going to do it. But then, you know, it hit me. And then I was like, okay, so that's how I'm going to do it. Got it. And now it's just kind of coming right out.
Did it hit you with its best shot?
It sure did.
Yeah.
Kind of came in a little bit like a wrecking ball, too. So.
That was good. That was good. Good one.
I try.
And then, of course, I'm continuing on with the John Baker Chronicles, which, as I said, is the spinoff. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
Well, actually, I have to because I'm only like two books in. So, obviously, I have
to. You can't stop at two.
Nah, can't do that. And I can't do odd numbers either. So, I'm going to have to at least maybe go to like four. Six or something. See how that works. So, but with Writers Uncensored, it's pretty much exactly what it sounds. You're going to get to hear Kendra and I give our thoughts, uncensored thoughts, on different things that might be considered taboo in today's society in writing.
Yes.
So, and basically, there's a lot of things in society right now that are taboo, Kendra, or not even so much. I don't even want to say taboo, but they're hot button topics that people do not want to talk about or touch.
Right.
Because in the climate that we're in right now, you know, friendships and relationships, you know, both familial, you know, blood familial and, you know, adopted family are you know, just being tarnished right now due to a number of hot button topics. So, you know, these are things that we're going to discuss in a writing perspective, and maybe how we can do it to not offend people. And should we even go there?
Or should we even bother with not trying to offend people?
Right. You know, there's so many different angles that we can look at this on, you know. And, you know, as we do more shows, we'll come up with, you know, different formats to do it. But right now, this is the first show. So I figure, you know, we'll have the discussion. Maybe what we can do, and I was kind of thinking about this today, you know, we've already got our topic, and I think it's a great topic. So I think that in certain aspects of it, maybe, you know, one of us can do the pro and the con end of things. You know, maybe we can take turns arguing the points and go from, you know, not arguing, but like debating the points and, you know, come up with different talking points on it.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because, I mean, the best part about it, too, is that while there are a lot of topics, you know, I mean, well, there's a finite amount of topics, but there's different ways that we can go about things. And maybe even, you know, in other shows, if it looks like, you know, we're going to repeat something, you know, we can actually come up with a subject, you know, whether it be film or music or literature. Mm-hmm. You know, to help argue said points as well.
Well, and you know, because, I mean, it takes writers of all kinds to do all different things. So, it doesn't necessarily have to be literature.
Right.
Which, that's just what we're more well-versed in, really.
Right.
But I am all for delving into music, film, television, you know, even maybe the odd video game, even though I don't really play them, you know, things like that. So I'm cool with branching out past more than just the lit.
Okay. All right, that works. Well, you know, let's dive right in, because, you know, at this point now, we're still, like I said, we're, you know, for those listening, again, we're finding our feet on how we're going to do this.
We are.
But so tonight's topic, and Kendra actually came to me with this topic, and that, and this I did, or you did? I thought you did.
I did.
Okay, yeah, you did. And the whole concept of the show is what really sold me on this, and especially with this first topic. So the first topic of the night, Kendra, you want to tell everybody?
Sure. It is religion.
Yeah, that the hottest among the hottest of the hot buttons right now.
That is my bread and butter hot button topic.
Besides politics, it's religion. Now, one thing, folks, that I want you to keep in mind, please don't at us or whatever with hate crap, because, well, if you do, you reserve the right. You basically give up the right that we can bring whatever you send to us and talk about it and possibly make
because we will.
Yeah.
This is Writers Uncensored after all.
Right.
So however, you come on talking crap,
you're going to get it.
Crap will happen to you.
Now, if you want to have, you know, if you want to come at us after this show airs and, you know, have a topic of discussion, that's awesome. Yeah. But all discussion, all comments on everything, I'm going to say now, and this is the one and only disclaimer, and I will do it before every show. Come with fact. Don't, and to quote the great Roland Martin from his show, Roland Martin Unfiltered, don't come with no bullshit. Come with facts. Come with real. And come respectful. That's all it's being asked. Come with facts. Zero bullshit. And with respect, because if you want to be heard, it's best to be respectful than to be a douche.
Yep. And if we say something that maybe you didn't agree with or anything like that, absolutely come to us. We can discuss it on a later episode, obviously.
Absolutely.
But the moment that I'm not going to take your request seriously is when you're a mega douche.
Yeah. If you start coming out and swearing and just being a jerk about it, then you know what? Then you're just an object of ridicule and disdain. So
right. And the reason you do podcasts like this to begin with is to open up a discussion. We want the discussion open, but not, you know, not in a disrespectful manner that's going to definitely piss somebody off by being, you know, intentionally a dumbass.
Right. And that's one of the biggest issues that I find in social media, especially on Facebook and on Twitter, not so much on Instagram. Yes. But Facebook and Twitter is that you get people that just seem to just purposefully want to be disrespectful, purposefully want to be an asshole, and it's just not going to be accepted.
And name calling also will not be tolerated.
Oh yeah, if you want to start name calling, believe you me, I can call names right back. But you know what? Let's be adults and let's be respectful of each other, and especially and to the He-Man woman hater types, especially don't be an asshole toward my sister, because I will snap out on you.
Aww.
All right, so disclaimers out of the way, the topic number one for Writers Uncensored is going to be religion, putting religion into your work, and basically, you know, how should you even put religion in? How should you approach it? Which religion should you approach? Which religion shouldn't you approach? Why, how? What is it? Who, what, where, how, why?
So, all those.
Yeah, every single one of those. So yeah. Kendra, let me ask you this. What is your position on putting religion in your writing?
So my position, being who I am, obviously.
Because you're an agnostic, correct?
I am, yes.
Okay, and so you want to give a definition to that for those who don't know, or maybe think they know but really don't?
Yeah, absolutely. So an agnostic is basically somebody who, you know, we don't claim to have all knowledge to be able to say for sure if there is a higher power, if there isn't a higher power, or if there is one, which one it is. So for all I know, you know, there couldn't be one at all, or, you know, there is one and it is God, or it is, you know, any form from any other religion, period. It could just be nature. Who knows? We don't know that. We don't claim to know that. And so in saying we don't subscribe to a particular religion, it's all knowledge and fact-based.
Right. So it turns into one of those, which religion is the right one? How do you know you're right, essentially?
Right. And some people confuse it with being an atheist, and it's definitely not the same thing, because an atheist just comes down and says, no, there's no higher power. It's just we're all stardust. That's it. It's done. When we die, there's nothing after that. You know, it's done.
Right.
But an agnostic is not like that, period. Right. So.
See, yeah. I kind of tap dance between being an agnostic and being. See, I don't like the term Christian, because Christ didn't come to earth to form a religion. Man put a belief structure around Jesus Christ's teachings. That's the way I personally see it. You know, I believe there's a God. I believe that, you know, Jesus Christ is his son, is God incarnate, came to earth, died for our sins, rose 3 days later. And, you know, basically, but I also do not believe that, I do not believe where people try to use the Bible to justify the atrocities of quote unquote Judeo-Christian, the crimes of the Judeo-Christian faith, as far as slavery, intolerance to anyone different. You know, I don't subscribe to that, you know, because I personally believe that the Bible in the way it was written has been modified for man's purposes. I mean, you look at, right, you know, King James Version. Why did who anointed King James to be able to change the Bible the way he saw fit? You know, not to mention the fact that it has gone on record to say that translating, you know, the ancient Hebrew or, you know, Enochian or whatever the original language was to English was difficult. And they went through using not just, you know, the Roman language, you know, the Italian language, but also the Greek language to get to the English language. And a lot of phrases were modified in that translation. Case in point, where everyone tries to use the Bible to say that, you know, homosexuality is an abomination. Now, I can't point to you to a source. If, you know, folks want it, I can definitely find it. But I do recall reading that it wasn't saying man that lays with man is an abomination. It said man who lays with the innocent, a young boy, is an abomination. It wasn't two consenting male adults. It was man laying with boy, you know. But of course, the Romans, whenever the Romans marched into battle, women weren't allowed on the battlefield. So these guys were sleeping with, you know, the young boys.
Well, and you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because, you know, the Bible itself has gone through a lot of different incarnations through history. Right. So it's being modified in so many different ways
to fit
the narrative of the time. And so, you know, we see a lot of it, especially now. And then, you know, our current political climate and the use of certain Bible verses to justify certain acts or justify certain laws that are trying to be passed, or, you know, for any reason really, or, you know, even just the reason for human suffering. Oh, well, this verse says da 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 da.
Right.
As a justification. And it's been like that
for forever.
Yeah.
And the sad part about it is that for one, our political climate shouldn't even be bringing religion into it, because right. Separation of church and state. Exactly. But there was a point in time where slavery was justified via the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Misogyny justified via the Bible. So the whole point is, as I got off on that tangent, is that I don't like to use the term Christian to identify. I try to be Christ-like, i.e. I try to treat everyone the way I want to be treated. I try to show everyone the same love, respect, and basic common decency that I would expect of myself. I try to love my neighbor as I would want them to love me. I try not to judge people, and I leave it at that.
Right. And, you know, even just using the term Christian to describe yourself or, you know, these days comes with a lot of the same negative stigma as, you know, like saying I have depression. Right. Or I have a mental illness. It kind of straddles that line of having a negative connotation with it.
Right.
These days.
Right.
So it's I like definitely people, understand that.
Yeah. That's why I just say I try to be, I strive to be Christ-like, and I leave it at that. You know, my mother and I tend to have disagreements. Matter of fact, we kind of rubbed each other the wrong way last month when we were discussing Halloween. You know, she was trying to say how Halloween is satanic, and it's like, no, it's not.
Sorry,
well, it's
Mom.
I'm like, no. And it's like, well, if you want to go there, then Christmas is technically satanic, because the church adopted pagan rituals mm-hmm. for what we know of to be Christmas. And Christmas right. wasn't even in December. Christ was born in the summertime.
Right.
So, so because here's the thing, when people try to talk about Halloween, Now folks don't call Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, celebrated in I know it's in Mexico, but I'm sure it might be in other countries as well, other Spanish speaking countries as well. That's not looked at as satanic. And that's what Halloween was. Halloween was Day of the Dead for Europeans. So the fuck. Wow, we're already getting started.
So, oh my gosh.
I know, right?
Well, our line is where reprobates are welcome, so I guess it's okay. Well, we have reprobates number 1 and 2 right here. It's okay.
Yep. I don't know. I wonder if Richard Pruitt's going to listen to this and he's just going to be like, yeah, I'm not putting this on.
I'm not putting this up, you guys, because this is like horrible.
This is way too much gaslighting. way too much triggering going on here.
Now, we do not gaslight on this show.
That's true. No, we don't. I like to look at this as opinion. This is opinion not based in any sort of political or religious aspect. It is just opinion, period.
We just talking.
Yep, healthy dialogue. So,
which we need these days anyway, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As I sip my tea, because Lord knows I need it. So, original question is still intact.
Yes.
Religion in your writing, yes or no?
For me, yes. I've used it multiple times. I'm not ashamed. 'Cause for me, religion had a very big impact on my life. It made me who I am. It shaped my worldview. You know, a lot of people don't know this about me because I don't really talk about it super openly, but I was actually raised a Mormon as a part of the Latter-day Saints church.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was definitely an experience to say the least. I got older, realized that, hey, some of this information just doesn't feel right. You know, in my heart, it doesn't feel right. You know, there were certain things where I felt there were certain prejudices that were being held against other members of the church based on something that they can't help, you know, like skin color or, you know, gender for one, or right, political views, things like that. It just didn't feel right. So when I was 16, I was like, okay, well, I'm leaving the church. Well, granted, you can still find my name in their books because I was baptized as a Mormon, but I don't affiliate. I don't practice. I don't go to church on Sundays. I do not sit down and speak with missionaries. I don't do any of that. So being raised in that kind of household under the Mormon religion definitely played a big part in my life. So for me, just the mention of religion in anything that I do is pretty much it's going to be there.
Right.
So, I mean, like, I've got my Executioner trilogy, which Random Evolved Media is putting back out. I do put a little bit of religion in there. It's basically this debate that is customer. Goodness, I talk to too many customers on the phone every day, apparently. So there's this character, the main character, that has this thought, you know, well, if God created us in his image, then why would he punish us for being just like him? You know, as far as like sinful and, you know, things like that. And I felt that that was something that I needed to mention there. And I'm actually working on something else that is very, very heavy on religion, and people are going to be very, very upset with me, but that is perfectly fine by me. Where all religion is just basically taken, you know, who we conceive as the good guy in the fight and the bad guy in the fight, it's not so clear. And things are actually the complete and exact opposite of what we were taught to believe. And to me, opening up the religious, you know, having that discussion is important. So to me, I put it in everything I can.
Okay, that makes sense. So, besides your Executioner,
so what about you, Brian?
What about me? Well, I don't have anywhere near the back catalog that you do, obviously, because you work on like 30 books at a time, and then like you're like the writing assembly line. So I don't have anywhere near the back catalog that you do, but in my Darklands saga, where the first two books are the Path of Redemption series, the Judeo-Christian faith in that is major league in that one. Matter of fact, it has a centralized role in the story for the lead character. And I did that on purpose because, well, a lot of people have heard this story before. Some of the people on TBK probably haven't heard it before. So I'll go through it again.
Sounds good.
I'm a survivor of sexual assault. I was molested once when I was 4 years old and was essentially molested again at 12. And I took all of those experiences, and for years I just packed them into that little ball in my stomach. And that's where all of that pain and agony lived. And then when my grandfather died, which was 23 years, 2 days ago, I just started falling apart. And then I ended up being institutionalized. And at one point, it got so bad that I sort of ceased being myself and sort of had this other persona that called itself Bryce. Then I started having reoccurring nightmares of myself fighting monsters in a dungeon and then being killed by a final monster that eventually looked like me. I realized much later on that it was that character Bryce. And then I turned that character into a role-playing character because I had started role-playing Vampire the Masquerade, and growing up, people demonized role-playing like Dungeons and Dragons, and especially Vampire the Masquerade. First time I went to go and LARP, live-action role-play, I told my friend, I said, there's nothing satanic that goes on here, does it? Because the whole thing of it just sounded so scary. And then I got there, and I just had the best time ever. And then I even have a relative that who is a minister that tried to tell my mother that I was going to go to hell because I role play.
Oh, goodness.
And my mother basically put this person in her place by essentially saying that being that I never did any of the bad things that other people have done, as people in our own family have done, considering the fact that my mother said, you know, I know who God is. I have my own relationship with God. Gaming is not ruining that relationship, especially when all it really is just improv acting.
Right.
With a rule structure, which is what our favorite actors and actresses do. It's just not
every day.
Improv. Every day. So if me playing Vampire the Masquerade is satanic, so is you spending money to go to the movies to watch Denzel Washington or any other actor. It's the same thing.
And I mean, if they're trying to take it in that direction, you know, of worshiping false gods, well, what do you think celebrities are? Celebrities are people that we put on a pedestal, right? So
absolutely.
It's basically the same thing. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't like to be a celebrity one day, but also I don't follow that doctrine. So
right.
But
then if that's the case, then what about ministers? Ministers are put up on a pedestal.
Very true.
And so are musicians. Anyone that we see is more talented than us, we put on a pedestal. Stephen King, Denzel Washington, Brad Pitt, Axl Rose, Anne Rice, who's the other one? Selena Quintanilla Perez. All these people who have all of this talent are put on a pedestal by people.
That's right.
So, and even Kirk Franklin is put on a pedestal by gospel fans.
Lord forbid, Joel Osteen.
Oh, geez, that jackass. he is such a scumbag. All these, like, now those are folks that are, when they finally get to those pearly gates, they gonna have some explaining to do. That's all.
Yeah, like, you made all these millions of dollars by preaching my doctrine, but what did you do with it?
Right. Exactly. What have you done? Who have you helped? You know, so it's like, I guess when I created Bryce Creed, I was still very nervous about that idea that, wow, what if I am doing something evil? Then it's like, so then I turned it into a character arc. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's the best thing. That's one of the best things ever about writing, is that you can take things that you feel insecure about and make it part of your character. And then, bam, you've got something. And at the same time, maybe you help yourself resolve your problems the same way as your character resolved their problems.
Right. And, you know, they say all the time, and I believe that it is true, you know, that writing is a very healing process. And I put so much of what I went through being raised in the household I was raised in the religion that I was being raised in, that writing these certain topics has actually been very therapeutic for me and has helped me work out a lot of my own shit that resulted from all of it.
Absolutely. And it truly is. And I mean, I believe thoroughly that God is there for us. It's just us learning how to accept the help. It's not like in the Bible or the way it's presented in film that God just looks down and talks to us and bam, there it is. I mean, we have to be able to hear it. We have to be able to take in. It's just like if someone is talking to you and giving you advice, if they don't know how to communicate with you or you don't know how to listen to their communication, it's going to be lost. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know what, when you're writing or when you're singing or when you're acting or when you're meditating, that's what clears your mind to be able to communicate. At least that's just my opinion. That's the way I see it.
Right. And I mean, I see things as more of, you know, the universe and energies and, you know, things falling into place.
And who's to say that can't be a part of the same thing? I see it from one aspect. You see it from another. Doesn't make either one of us wrong. It's just we see things different. But how do we not know that it's not all a part of the same thing? Maybe our minds just aren't able. In some instances, it's almost like our minds aren't able to pick that out.
Right. And what I tell people all the time, too, and for some reason, this makes some people so angry. And I'm still trying to understand why, you know, because for years I've thought of it like this. It's, we're all trying to reach the same thing. Just right. Taking different roads to get there, taking different paths to get there. But for some reason, that makes some people so angry.
Right.
And I've never understood, because it's like, okay, well, it's not like I'm comparing any religion or saying a religion's wrong or, you know, saying they're all right or anything like that, because I don't know. As an agnostic, I have admitted I don't know.
Right.
So why are you so angry at that fact? Because we all are trying to reach the exact same thing.
Right. And you're not wrong. I wish that I can understand. I think that people, I think as human beings, we all want to be a part of something. Even me, Mr. I hate being bothered. All I want in life is to be left alone. But I still want to be a part of something. And I think
I think that's a very fundamental human thing, you know, like Because me, you know, I'm a lot like you. I preach, like, I don't really want to be around people, you know. It's too people-y out there. I'm not going. But, you know, we all want to have that connection and all want to have, you know, want to believe that we made a difference somewhere in some way. And that's, that I think that's fundamentally human. I do.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I'm not impugning that need, because I need it too. We all need it. I think that where it becomes a bad thing is when you so engross yourself in it that it becomes your identity. You know, I believe in God. I try to be Christ-like, but I don't let that. I live in harmony with that. I don't make it my entire identity. I try to treat people right because it's the right thing to do. These teachings work hand in hand in that. Now, maybe I have that mindset because of those teachings. Maybe I'm wrong in this. Maybe my take is totally wrong. But the way I see it is that when people get so into being a part of something that they use it as a way to have hatred against someone that doesn't see it quite like them, mm-hmm. Well, then you're doing it wrong.
Well, and that's where I felt that Christianity has really gotten a bad rap lately. You know, everybody gets so involved and, you know, well, this is the teaching here and this is what this verse says and this is saying that you're doing something wrong. You know, they get so wrapped up in the rights and the wrongs of something that they really don't even completely 100% understand, for one. And then, you know, try and force it on everyone.
Right. Kind of thing. That's where you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, that's where you're doing it wrong. Because, you know, if you go by that doctrine, you know, you're supposed to love everyone. Mm-hmm. No matter what.
Right. You're not supposed to have, because on one hand, they say, don't hate the person, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. Love thy neighbors, right. You want them to love thyself. Don't judge not, lest ye be judged. Oh, but except for them, fuck them. No, it doesn't work that way. You either go all in or not at all. You're supposed to love everyone. And the thing is, in the whole wanting to be a part of something and learning something, you can't shove your experiences down someone's throat. You just can't. They're either on a different walk than you, or they're on a different path. They're in you're walking in a meadow. They're walking in the desert. You're walking through a forest. They're walking through the plains. Or someone else is walking in the city and you're walking in the country. You know, just be glad that you're both on a path, and maybe this is something that really drives me nuts. The lack of communication. You've got so many people that are so quick to try to shove their beliefs and their doctrines and trying to indoctrinate people that they have no respect for the other person. And when you try to have a healthy dialogue, folks talk and talk and talk, and they only go quiet long enough to talk again. They don't go quiet to listen and accept the communication from the other person.
Right. And, you know, as an agnostic, I see this all the time. And I mean, all the time. It's, oh, well, what do you mean you don't believe in God? Well, you know, I didn't say I didn't believe in anything, and you just made it sound like I just, you know, shot your grandmother. You know, I mean, that was the only way that I could think of to put it at the moment. But I mean, they get so offended and they don't even want to hear any of what you have to say. And it's not just, you know, Christians or anything like that. It's pretty much every religion that you run into, or every, you know, non-religion, if you want to say it that way.
Okay.
They all have people like this. They all do. And it's just a simple fact of life. You know, we want other people to believe what we do, to feel like we belong.
Right.
Makes sense.
Right. It does. Because, I mean, you get these... What really gets me is when I hear or see atheists complain about Christians. Oh, you know, you're so judgmental and blah, blah, blah. You and your invisible man in the sky. It's like, okay, but you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You just did the same thing. Oh, well, they did it first. What is this, grade school?
That doesn't justify anything.
The they did it first.
Can't stand it.
Yeah. The they did it first argument is not a valid argument. The only time a they did it first argument works is if someone comes up and punches me in the face and I hit them back.
Yeah.
That's the only time. But
that's the only
whole
time it's okay.
Because sometimes, like, if somebody disrespects you, yeah, you can just walk away. You can just ignore it. I mean, you know, from our disclaimer, yeah, I'll probably make fun of someone that disrespects us. But, you know, some people I might just ignore. Because you can't fight, you can't battle an idiot in an idiot contest because you're already at a disadvantage.
Right.
You know, sometimes you just gotta let shit go. You know, and if you're atheist and you don't believe in God, that's cool. No problem. But you don't get to shit on people that do, because you know what? Maybe that belief in God is what keeps them going. So let them have it. Just like they should let you have that you don't believe. They should just let you have it. It's not hurting them that you don't believe in God. It's not hurting you that they believe in God. And if it's hurting either one of you that the other one doesn't believe what you believe, if it's really hurting you, well, then you need to thicken your skin.
Yeah, you know, really figure your shit out. Because obviously there's something there that gets underneath your skin and, like, strikes something fundamental inside of you that causes that problem. So you need to dig deep and figure your shit out.
Right. Like, what do I care that you're agnostic and I just try to be Christ-like? What do I care? You know what?
Well, it doesn't affect either one of us.
No, it doesn't. No. It doesn't affect our relationship.
No, not at all.
And I've been friends with Jewish people. I've been friends with Jews. I've been friends with Muslims. I've been friends with all types of people. Who they worship or choose not to worship has not affected anything. I've had some amazing conversations with these people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And just learning their culture. And when someone shares their culture, for me as a black man in America, I feel a little bit sad, but so elated as well, because it's like, thank you for letting me in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they don't have to share that part of themselves with you at all. And
right.
They're more than willing to do so. I grew up in California for a good portion of my life and went to school with this girl whose family was Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, practiced Islam. And I learned so much from those people, and they were some of the most giving and compassionate people I've ever met.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they were absolutely, absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I grew up, you know, of course, surrounded by other Mormon families. I learned plenty from them as well. Catholics, Jews, I mean, name it, I've probably met at least one person that practices. And I feel like they have given me something, you know, a gift, if you will, when they decide that they trust me enough to share that part of themselves with me.
Right. Absolutely. But it also makes me a little bit sad because I don't know my culture. The only thing that I know of my culture is, you know, things that, you know, that aren't necessarily, like, I don't know where my ancestors came from. So I don't know what that culture is.
Right.
If it could come to my face right now and I wouldn't know. You know, I recently watched a commentary about the film Get Out by Jordan Peele, which is a great film, by the way.
It really is. It's fantastic.
It is such an amazing satire on race relations in this country.
Oh, it sure is. It was, oh my God, that movie, like, it wasn't what I was expecting at first, and then, you know, the narrative behind it, and, you know, if you can actually pay attention to that and open your eyes, it hits you right in the soul.
It really does. Yeah. But I'll try to make sure that I get these links to Richard and on TBK. If you guys listen to it and you don't see the links or whatever, if you go to YouTube and check out Cinema Wins, it's actually the YouTube channel is actually called Cinema Wins. Shout out to Cinema Wins, by the way. And check out the commentary, part one and two commentary of Get Out. And, you know, just his discussion on what the film is about and how it tackles race in this country. And the only reason why I bring that up is because the score in some of the music in the movie is sang in Swahili. And for those that speak Swahili, just a little spoiler alert for you. If you speak Swahili and you watch Get Out for the first time, the opening music spoils the movie for you. However,
now I need to speak Swahili.
But it's like, I don't know if my ancestors spoke Swahili. And when I've heard Swahili, it sounded like a foreign language. So when folks share their culture with me, I'm happy that they've let me in. But then it makes me a little bit sad because I don't know that. I don't know the culture. And right. To sort of do the go round to come back to what we're discussing on this topic, on this show, being religion and putting religion in books, religion was used to justify cutting me and mine off from our culture.
Very true.
So I think as far as now, we both put religion in our writings, and we're at the 40, we're just past 45 minutes on the show. But it's all discussion, which I'm all for. I dig it.
Absolutely. So
we both put religion in our writing. And I think that as a writer or any form of creator, it behooves you to do research on the religion in question and the traditions, because you want to be accurate. I think that if you're going to put religion in something, you better have some accuracy.
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely. I mean, like, I can definitely commend some writers that I know on the depth of research that they have done for their books where they include religion. Like, this one's probably beating a dead horse at this point, but...
Go ahead.
Yeah, we like to do that here anyway. Yeah, So, I mean, Margaret Atwood and her Handmaid's Tale series, you know, there's so much religion steeped into that story. It's not even funny. And pretty much everything that they do they used religion to justify everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it runs deep. I mean, read the book. The sequel just came out back in September called The Testaments. And then, of course, you've got the show. The show goes a lot more in depth, I felt, than the book. I haven't read the second book yet, but the show shows a lot more of like what they consider acceptable punishments for certain things. Like, if you were a lesbian before, they have a justification for whatever punishment they're going to dole out to you. Or, you know, let's say if you find a female partner in that kind of political climate and that culture that emerged out of everything that took place, then they have a punishment for her too.
Good Lord.
Or, you know, or for him, you know, whatever. And they use religion heavily to justify the means of any action. It doesn't matter what it is.
Okay. Yeah. So now I still haven't started watching the show, because you've been talking to me about Handmaid's Tale since you first started watching it.
Yes.
And I just haven't had a chance to start watching it. So there's only two books out in that series right now.
So the first book that the TV show is based on actually came out in 1985, I want to say.
Damn.
Yeah. And so it came out in 1985. And so you just had the second book that came out this year.
Wow. Talk about a gap.
I know. I know, right? And I'm not exactly sure what propelled her to write the second book. I don't know if it was something that she had always planned on doing or what, but well, I have
I'm pretty sure that it came from the fact that, hey, we bought this book to do this movie, to do this show, and we don't have anything else. Help us out. Oh, okay.
That's very possible. And, you know, she's been very, very integral on writing the show itself. So she's definitely had her hands in it.
Nice.
Which is good. Which is really good, because this role was hers. It was something she created, and she used Christianity, lo and behold, to help create this world. So this is definitely eye-opening if you want to look at some Old Testament.
I think, now, here's my thing. When you write religion, do you have any of your villains being religious zealots, or no? Because that's kind of a popular trope in Hollywood and in writing, is to have the religious zealot villain trope.
Well, I'm trying to think of all of my villains here.
Jeez.
And I have
that's a lot. Yeah. You got a whole damn encyclopedia.
That I do. I could probably write one. So, I mean, the only real, you know, even remotely close to zealot that I could probably say that I have is Lilith in the Executioner trilogy, but she was Adam's first wife. You know, she is the reason for the creation of all of these different creatures, you know, hellish creatures, vampires, demons, you know, things like that. So she is a little on the fanatical side.
Okay.
Of course, she was wanting to take over the whole entire world. So,
well, I can understand that.
Yeah. But, I mean, as far as that goes, of anything that I actually have released, then she's going to be it. And then I've got my Ashes of Heaven series, which I'm still working on because I am nowhere near finished. Thank you, master's degree, for that. there are going to be a lot of villains here. And pretty much, I would say, depending on who you ask, the ones on the side that they thought was the right side are going to be religious zealots, I believe. I think that's exactly what I have planned for them. I haven't gotten that far yet, but it's going to be dark, it's going to be gritty, it's going to be horrible, and so I think we're going to see plenty of religious zealots there, but
right.
That is the only thing that I can think of. The only ones.
See, when I think of religious zealot villains, one of my first ones is the kid from Children of the Corn. What was the name of that character? Malachi was the ginger. Hold on. Let me pull up my Google machine. And let me search Children of the Corn.
Yeah, he was actually a very good example.
Yeah, now that's a religious zealot right there. Isaac, John Franklin that played Isaac. That's a religious zealot villain. Or Cain from Poltergeist 1 and 2. Well, one, the Poltergeist series. That's a religious zealot villain. Or even, let's look at, hold on, now I have to go back, because now those are your, you know, your Christian religious zealots. Now, I'm going to throw another one at you. as soon as my Google machine is good to me about it.
Damn Google machine.
Yeah. Art, the character Salim Abdul Aziz from True Lies. Now, was he a religious zealot? Do you remember True Lies at all? Or are you still too, you were a little too young for.
I've seen it twice.
Now, here's my thing. Now, the terrorist group is called the Crimson Jihad. Mm-hmm. So that sounds very religious to me.
It does.
So let me ask you this. As an agnostic, do you personally see a difference between, say, a Christian zealot or a Islamic zealot? Or because it's Christian or it's Islam characters as villains that are religious zealots. Very rarely do you see like a Jewish zealot or a hint or a give me another religion. Anyone.
We don't see any Sikh zealots.
Yeah, there's no I haven't seen any Sikh zealots. I haven't seen any Buddhist zealots. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's Christian zealots and it's Muslim zealots. So let me ask you this. When putting either a Christian zealot or a Muslim zealot in a book, do you think one is more out of line than the other? Are they both out of line? Is one worse than the other? Or are they both just, it's a character?
So I don't really think one is worse than the other, if I'm going to be completely honest. Now, some people would definitely get overworked with a Muslim fanatic than a Christian fanatic, but that's just because of current political climate, you know, especially since 9/11, you know, things definitely look less favorable for those that practice Islam, which is a shame.
Right.
So now if you have, you know, a religious fanatic that just happens to be Muslim, people look at that a lot less favorably than they used to. It used to be pretty much equal amongst everybody, but now not so much. So as far as I'm concerned, one's not worse than the other, but it's all going to depend on who you ask.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that it was all equal, or do you think that it was, say, it's just the way it was?
I'm going with it's just the way it was.
Yeah, because here's my thing.
Yeah.
Back in the day, and I had this discussion with my mother yesterday. We were actually talking about Disney Plus, which I am so grateful that I have Verizon Unlimited for my phone because I get Disney Plus free for a year. What?
That is awesome. Say what?
Say what? But we were talking about how Disney Plus actually has a disclaimer on some of their older animated films, like the original Dumbo, the original Lady and the Tramp. As a matter of fact, I have my phone right here. I will pull it up now. For those of you that have Disney Plus, I'm sure that you'll be able to sort of be on my side on this. So I'm gonna look up Dumbo, okay? Because I personally never liked the story of Dumbo, ever. And I especially...
You're not the only one.
Yeah, I hate Dumbo, and I especially hated the movie because I hate those frickin' crows. I hate those crows. Those racist-ass crows. I hate them. However, and this is in the details section, okay? And I'm actually going to read it to you word for word, okay? Dumbo, 1941. Meet Dumbo. Mrs. Jumbo's sweet little baby mind charms all who see him until it's discovered that he has huge floppy ears. With the support of his very best friend, Timothy Q. Mouse, Dumbo soon learns that his spectacular ears make him unique and special, allowing him to soar to fame as the world's only flying elephant. Contains tobacco depictions. This program is presented as originally created. It may contain outdated cultural depictions. I'm going to read that last sentence one more time, if I may.
Go for it.
It may contain outdated cultural depictions.
So they have this on multiple films. The older animated.
Yeah, it's on Dumbo. Matter of fact, I'm going to look up Lady and the Tramp now. Because I heard it was on there as well. The original Lady and the Tramp. I haven't had a chance to watch the updated film that's on there. Yep, and it says it again. This program is presented as originally created. It may contain outdated cultural depictions, aka the Siamese cats that are racist as hell. So what that means is we got some racist shit in this. However, we are showing this as it was originally aired, which, as a film purist, I'm okay with. But because I understand that in 1941 and 1955, see, they didn't care about offending black people or offending Asians or whatever. Just like back in the day in film, or, you know, as we were talking about with True Lies, you know, no one really thought about who they were offending. Because they were writing for a particular audience. Now, you have to be now it's time to be inclusive. Those days are over. And some people look at that as a bad thing. But it's not. There's nothing wrong with being inclusive because, you know, not everyone is white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Right.
Not everyone is. And you have to accept that.
So, right, and this is one of the many reasons now, you know, they have the bigger publishers anyway hire sensitivity readers.
Right, to see who's going to be triggered by certain depictions. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. You're a lot.
I believe that's part of that. I think that's a part of the job description, yeah, but I know it has something to do with that as well as certain triggers, mental health triggers, things like that. So they've got sensitivity readers that handle a lot of different things to try and pick out and suggest change when it comes to certain parts of a text.
Right. See, you're a lot closer to that than I am. So, but yeah, and that's the thing too, is that the whole point of that, The whole point of us talking about that with religion is that, you know, I think what it should be is that depicting Muslims in a negative light is pretty fucked up. Depicting Christians in a negative light is pretty fucked up. Depicting anyone in a negative light is fucked up. However, if you're going to do it for a character, if I can make a Christian fundamentalist villain, then I should be able to make a Muslim fundamentalist villain. I should be able to make a Jewish fundamentalist villain. I should be able to make a mobster, an Italian mobster, a Russian mobster. You know what I mean? It's like, I think that when it comes to depicting religion in our works, and please, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, because you are the veteran here in this discussion. You were writing long before I came on the scene. It's not the religion that is the villain. It is the villain and their mindset that is twisting the religion into their own mockery that is the villain. It's not. So if you put in a Muslim terrorist in your book, you're not saying Islam is evil, but this character that has twisted it is evil. Fact or fiction?
Fact. Fact. I agree with you 100%.
So I don't think, now, it's still very important to do your research.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you want to get everything right. You want to make sure your credibility is solid. And there's some instances, and you and I have talked about this when we were always writing partners, but even when we were still just writing partners, and then when we became publisher author, there's nothing wrong with making, shall we say, putting your own spin on history or making up an event for your narrative. But you can't do that with everything when it comes to religion. With religion, you really, if you're going to use Christianity, you've got to come correct, unless you're going to make up a whole new religion.
Right. And I'm a big stickler for that. You know, I like having the accurate information. I like representing in an accurate form, in an accurate fashion. So for me, you know, putting religion of any kind into my books, you know, especially where I have, and for whatever reason, for me, having that accurate representation has been a detriment. Like, it's like paramount to everything. I mean, I research every single thing that I do. You can ask my husband, sometimes even to the point of pure and utter annoyance, because I will look everything up and get myself freaked out about things, or talk to him about it nonstop. when I was looking up, you know, I was looking more into general Christianity for the Ashes of Heaven series and learning so much about it that, you know, I was going to my husband, you know, who was raised Catholic, who knows a lot more about certain aspects than I do, telling him about these things that I learned. And he's like, I knew that already.
You know what? I kind of have almost the opposite, because when I am researching, I'm telling Sharon, I'm like, and this and this and this and this. And she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And it's like, you're doing that patronizing.
Even if I'm looking up something scientific to put in a book, I'm like, yeah, babe, I learned this and this and this and this and this, and I'm putting this and this, and they're going to do this. And he's like, okay, cool, but I already knew that information, because Mr. Biophysicist over there already knows everything.
Oh, and by the way, you got this wrong, because nothing burns at that level.
Yeah, like...
That's the way Ed sounds to me whenever he's correcting someone. whenever Ed is editing my books, that's how I read his comments as.
Oh my goodness.
You use this word entirely too much.
And it was just like the funniest thing when he was editing John Baker, right, and talking about certain military weaponry. He was like, I told Brian that they wouldn't use that gun. And then and I'm like, okay, calm down.
Yeah, and I just pictured him like, there's no way that would happen.
Because I even went to him on so many different things, you know, like with Mila's power, because I wanted to make sure the representation was accurate. You know, I was like, okay, so I want this character to be able to do this one thing, but I want to know what this is going to look like on the outside. Like, when she's doing this to somebody's body, what kind of effects on the exterior of this person are we going to see?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's highly theoretical.
Well, really, when you really think about it, physicists have been wondering this for decades. that's Sorry, explaining, man. Ed. That's explainer, Ed.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, really. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. I think that as we start to wrap this up, I think that religion, it's deep. It's a deeply personal thing. And with personal things, you want to be able to handle it respectfully. You know, even if it's a religion or belief structure that is not personally yours, you want someone who does believe that, that if they read your book, I don't want to say you don't want them to feel insulted, but you want them to feel like you've properly depicted their belief, their faith.
Right.
And if you're going to make someone that's of their faith your villain, and I'm just using villain because you know villains are, you know, negative, obviously. But you still want to make sure that even if they may not like the depiction of the character, you got the fact of the religion down. So then that way, if they come at you online, well, I don't like the way you did this. Well, but this is what I researched and this is what. All right. Yeah, but that's not the way it is. So your gripe is with the character, not with the way I depicted your religion. Well, yeah. All right. That's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to elicit that kind of feeling.
Well, then, like, let's say, God forbid, you know, you write, you know, an Islamic extremist who happens to be a suicide bomber. Well, you know, it doesn't mean you didn't research the religion accurately. More than likely you did. It's just, there's fundamental character flaw that causes them to see it in light, that causes the character to see it in a light where this is the action they're going to take.
Right.
It doesn't say anything about the religion. It says everything about the person.
Yeah. The guy's a suicide bomber. He just happens to be a worshiper of Islam.
Right.
Not saying that all people that practice Islam are suicide bombers, because there have been suicide bombing Christians as well. And there have been Christians that have set bombs to cause max damage. Looking at you, Timothy McVeigh.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, as we start, and I've already said it, but, you know, as we start wrapping up, I mean, you know, censorship, you can't feel like you're censored. And the way to get around, I guess, being censored is do your research as a writer. So that way folks can't tell you. Absolutely. So folks can't tell you, well, you don't know what you're talking about because you did this. Then you can say, well, actually, I have lots of research. It's just that this is this character. This is the way this character sees it, as all of us do. You know, right. No two Christians look at things the same. Why do you think we have so many damn denominations?
No freaking kidding. I live in South Carolina where I can't even say how many different kinds of Baptists there are.
Oh, Lord, you got your Southern Baptist, your First Baptist, your Third Baptist, your freaking Baptist scientists. You've got your freaking, Lord, there's too many damn Baptists. You know what? Yeah. Just stop. Okay. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yeah. There you go. Enough already. Oh, well, I'm part of the United Lutheranic Methodian Church. Exactly. You know, just go watch Davy and Goliath and leave me the hell alone. Okay. Jesus.
Well, you know, like down here too, you don't just have that, but you've got the Catholics, you've got the Lutherans, you've got the Episcopalians. I mean, like, you've got everybody. And then the Baptists are down there like, oh, well, they're all wrong. All of them.
And then your evangelicals, well, they're all wrong. And everyone's just screaming, well, you're wrong, and you're wrong, and you're wrong. You know what? What if you're all wrong?
Just saying.
Here's an idea. Instead of saying you're a Christian, just be Christ-like. So that way, when you get up to that pearly gate, oh, you believed in me, you believed in my son, you treated people okay. Come on in.
And here on earth, there is no misinterpretation.
Right. It's like, come on, man. It's enough. Let's just stop. Let's just cut in.
Yeah.
All right. So, Kendra, I think this, you know, this first rolling out of this show, I think this is done pretty good. Some healthy dialogue.
I am going to agree with you on that one. I think it was done very well.
Yeah, this is a good idea by you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it. Now, I appreciate being brought in to be a part of this. I appreciate it. And, folks, leave your comments. Tell us what you think. We'll get back to you. And, you know, if you disagree with us, tell us why. Be respectful. If you like what we had to say, appreciate it. Be respectful. If you want to have some healthy dialogue, if you've got some questions or some comments, leave them. You know, we'll read them on the air on the next show. And, you know, maybe we'll give you a shout out. If you're a Nudnik douche canoe, we'll definitely give you a shout out, but not in the way you would like. But I mean, hey, if you hate us, you still listened.
This is very, very true. See, they saw the uncensored part.
Yeah. See, we are uncensored. We're speaking.
Gotta pay attention to that part. It's very important. Reading is fundamental.
I was just getting ready to say that. Get out of my head. And it's true. Absolutely. Maybe on our graphic, we should put potential trigger warning.
Oh, probably. Especially considering some content. This maybe not so much, but like some other things maybe.
Yeah, because I mean eventually we're gonna have to talk about sexual assault in books and sexual assault in film. You know, sexual assault in art, should we say.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get down to the super nitty gritty.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get like rugged on it, and then because I figure we get rugged on it and then we go on to other things. I mean, who knows? We're probably gonna end up going, you know, Writers Uncensored for more than just taboo topics. I mean, just stuff in general and things to talk about and talking points. Who knows? You know, but yeah, really. But it's a great first show. Leave your comments. And eventually, you know, we'll probably come up with like a show email address and crap like that. I'd say let's get to about 10 episodes in and then we'll do stuff like that. Otherwise, just leave us comments on TBK.
Yeah, then, you know, at some point, I mean, maybe we can even take topic suggestions from listeners.
There you go. Absolutely. Do some topic suggestions there. Things to talk about. Yeah, you never know. Yeah, see, I'm doing that now because I've been up since like 7 in the morning and I went into the gym and like, you know, get all working out, sweaty, and then it's like my brain and my body's trying to come down. It's like, no way, mister, we still have stuff to do.
And you're gonna be the best hugger. Best
damn hug. Right. Oh, I'm gonna be the master hugger. I'm gonna be the master hugger and the of baiters.
Oh. Not the master baiter. I couldn't even get that whole thing out.
Well, I meant baiters as far as, you know, baiting fishing hooks. What are you talking about?
Yeah, okay, Brian.
I almost got through that with a straight face. Almost. But anyway, she's Kendra Sauter. I'm Brian Tan. This is Writers Uncensored. And we'll talk to you next time.